Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Well, here in Spain, it's our turn to welcome Brett Hansen again. He was here last week, and we'll catch up if you weren't listening last week. You should have done. But anyway, Brett, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Just gets hotter and hotter by the day at the moment, doesn't it?
It does, indeed. Anyway, over the past 3 months, inflation has returned towards target, so there's been lots of talk about when interest rates will come down. With that on the cards, now seems like a perfect time to discuss how cash savings have fared over this period of high interest rates. So Brett, let's get straight on to it. What's gone on with interest rates in the past few years?
Well, Howard, from around 2008-2009 until the end of 2021, we saw interest rates in the US, UK and Europe pretty much below 1%. But prices of pretty much everything started rising quite rapidly in the summer of 2021, largely due to companies struggling to keep up with the significant increase in demand for both goods and services as developed economies came out of their lockdowns from the COVID pandemic, which started the year before in 2020. And as people started going to shops, restaurants and traveled again, basically spending some of the money that they had saved during the lockdown, companies struggled to meet this supply. The lack of state support and a shortage of vaccinations in the emerging or developing economies meant that these countries continued to remain in lockdown longer than the US, Europe and the UK, and they weren't able to produce a sufficient quantity of the many things we need and use, such as clothing, semiconductors and computer chips. There were also shortages of shipping containers and drivers, which meant transporting goods became more difficult and more expensive. And when companies can't keep up with the pace at which people want to buy things, well, prices go up. So as 2021 came to an end and developing economies began producing goods and the transport and supply of goods caught back up, it was expected that inflation would actually start coming down by the second quarter of 2022. And so at this point, interest rates still remained pretty low. But unfortunately, in 2022, we saw the start of the terrible situation in the Ukraine. And this in turn led to increases in the price of oil and other raw materials and foods. And so with inflation continuing to rise rather than coming down as expected, we saw the US and UK central banks increase interest rates throughout 2022 and the first half of 2023 from around 0% to 5%. And likewise, the European Central Bank increased rates from close to 0% to more than 4%, though more recently we have seen a rate cut of 0.25%. And going forward, Howard, we're expecting interest rates to move lower, but as to when and by how much, we'll have to wait and see.
Do these higher interest rates have an impact on investment markets?
Well, higher interest rates tend to encourage people to save and leave their money in bank accounts earning interest rather than spend their money on goods or invest their money in riskier assets such as company shares and bonds. So higher interest rates can actually shift investor sentiment and alter decision making in terms of investing and spending. At the same time, Howard, companies will typically have higher capital costs due to increases in the interest rate payments they need to pay on any debt they hold, and potentially lower demand for their products if people are saving their money and not spending it. These factors can therefore impact company earnings, resulting in their share price decreasing. It can also cause bonds to decrease in value, since newly issued bonds will be more attractive to investors due to the higher interest they will pay on these newer bonds compared to the bonds which commenced when interest rates were lower. And we certainly saw bonds fall in value in 2022 because of this.
Did investments or cash savings perform best?
Well, from 2008-2009 to the end of 2021, there is no doubt that investments performed significantly better than cash savings because there was no or little interest paid on cash for most of this time. But in 2022, when interest rates started increasing and therefore the interest on cash deposits also went up, there is no doubt cash savings did better than investments as both stock markets and bond markets fell. But I would say since the middle of 2023 until now, then I would say investments have again been outperforming cash deposits. And so there's no doubt that if you looked at, say, the last 15 years, taking into account that the interest you earn on deposit is often, but not always, on a par with inflation, and you want to ensure that your money has the best chance of keeping up with inflation or provide you with returns over and above this, then once you've set aside a good amount in cash to cover any emergencies and short-term income requirements, your best chance of achieving this is to invest in a diversified portfolio of traditional investments, which are in line with your circumstances, objectives, and crucially, your attitude to risk.
That's a lot to take in, Brett. But how should our listeners structure their wealth?
Well, I think the key here, Howard, is for any listeners looking to structure their wealth in order to achieve their objectives, they should really speak to an experienced, qualified, and regulated advisor to help them with this process. It's essential that the right solutions are used to limit potential taxation and meet our listeners' estate planning wishes. And as we spoke about last week, Howard, it's important that when it comes to investing, that you diversify across different asset types, countries, markets, and investment approaches in line with your attitude to risk and objectives. Make sure that the firm you do use have the strength and depth of knowledge and resources needed in order to be able to carry out any estate planning and cross-border tax advice you may need now or in the future. And ensure that your advisor will commit to providing you with a review of your portfolio at least once a year to see if your portfolio needs rebalancing. Because as asset values rise and fall, your portfolio can shift away from the one originally designed to match your risk profile and objectives. Regular rebalancing helps control risk and can have a positive impact on portfolio performance. Also, Howard, as part of this ongoing review process, your advisor should consider if any of your circumstances or objectives have changed, which could lead to changes needing to be made to your investments. And they should discuss any tax or regulatory changes which could have an impact on you and your loved ones on your demise. Of course, if any listeners would like to discuss anything we've talked about today, or have concerns about their own investments, or perhaps their advisors are not providing them with a regular review, then they can go to our website and contact their local Blevins Franks advisor at blevinsfranks.com and speak to one of our experienced, qualified, and regulated advisors via one of our many local offices in Spain.
Many thanks, Brett. We'll talk in a few weeks.
Thanks, Howard. Take care now.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.